CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
And all that kind of thing, and he sent me my floppies. I fell in love. I mean, I had been doing development on mainframes in RPG. I had been doing development with Visual Basic. I had been doing development with this brand new thing called Java at the time, way, way back, long, long ago. And I found Cold Fusion to just be, ridiculously nice to develop with. The error messages made sense. I could get results lightning fast. And more important than anything, I could, do what it was that I needed to do, which was very quickly get the stuff in my database, out of the database, show it to people on the web, be able to work with that data, edit it, so on and so forth. And 11 years later, that is still the most popular feature in Cold Fusion. It's still what its primary strength is rapid development. And for most people, that is about getting stuff in and out of their database. But pretty much anything you want to do is rapid development. So, going to give you an introduction to the server, talk about the basics of CFML, of Cold Fusion code, talk about database integration, and go over some of the features. Just talk about the features. Right. And if any of you have any questions, or I'm going too fast or too slow or whatever, just scream at me, throw something at me. Right. So what is Cold Fusion? It is a server-side web application development platform or system. It's written in Java, built on the J2EE platform. It is in my opinion, it is the ideal web development environment, web development platform, and it is one of the leading ones out there. It is the most rapid development platform on the web, no doubt. It's actually the most rapid development environment I've ever found, including the non-web environments. Very easy to learn, very easy to use. You'll find that actually if you walk around the conference and ask people, how did you get started with Cold Fusion, what's your background, I bet no more than maybe 7 or 8% of the people here actually have computer science degrees. My degree was in philosophy. About as non-technical and non-computer as you can get. I just needed a job. So I went this path, because you can't do anything with a philosophy degree. You'll find that most of the developers really are people from all walks of life, a lot of liberal arts and all sorts of different people, who literally just one day their boss walked into their office and, they got thrown into the fire, right? Go learn this. And pretty much anybody can learn it and can use it and get results very fast. Cold Fusion, one of its primary strengths or one of its nice advantages for a lot of companies and a lot of consultants is the fact that it is platform agnostic in that you can really run it on pretty much any operating system out there, right? You don't, it's not like, the Windows stuff that has to run on Windows or the stuff that only runs on Unix or what have you. You build applications, you can talk to pretty much any database you want, run that application on any operating system you want, for the most part, which is nice. And obviously, I left the word macromedia in there. Missed one that I had to replace. That's the only thing I ever have to do to these slides, is kind of replace, a layer with macromedia, then a macromedia with Adobe, and who knows, maybe, in 10 years I'll be replacing that with Microsoft. No. I don't think that. I don't know. But anyway, it is a key product. It was a very key product for macromedia. It's primary server-side platform, server-side product. Adobe did have, when they acquired macromedia, several server-side products, but Cold Fusion very quickly took its rightful place as the primary server-side product, the product that will allow them to tie all their other products together. Cold Fusion is the ideal product for them to use that for, to do that with. So, on the web, you have two different types of technologies. You've got client-side technologies, you've got server-side technologies. Client-side technologies are, HTML, JavaScript, your Ajax stuff, Flash and Flex, right? Those all run on the people's browsers or on some client. And then you've got the stuff that runs somewhere out on the web, somewhere out there on a server. Cold Fusion obviously is the server-side solution, right? It's a server-side technology. Oftentimes, we use Cold Fusion to generate our presentation to your stuff, though, right? You use Cold Fusion, you want to output HTML. You know, Cold Fusion technically is doing both your server-side stuff and it's generating your client-side stuff. So one thing I always like to explain to people who are new to Cold Fusion, way long ago, far, far away in your galaxy, when the web began, we had what we now typically refer to as a static web architecture. Basically, people all set up these servers all over the internet, these web servers, and they wrote hundreds and thousands of HTML pages, and they put those pages on the servers, and people opened up web browsers and typed in www.whatever.com. And what happened was this request got sent out to the internet, found its way to whatever server was, you know, it was supposed to go to based on that domain name, and the web server would look in its directory structure, find the thing that you were asking for, find that page, and it would just open up the page and send those contents back to you, right? And your web browser would then take all that HTML and whatever was in it and actually just show it to you however it was supposed to. These web servers are really nothing but file servers, and you couldn't do a whole lot with them other than, you know, put a bunch of text, you know, in an HTML page and let it get sent to people's browsers to be looked at. And that worked. That was neat way back then, anyway. It was kind of novel being able to do that and link documents together and put images in them and, you know, blink tags and all that good stuff. but there were definitely some limitations. There were some problems. First and foremost, you did oftentimes find that people had thousands of these HTML pages. You'd have like a header and a footer on, you know, on your website, and that header and footer code would be in every single one of those thousands of pages. And it was really just a maintenance nightmare for companies. You know, you did not want to have to open up, you know, 1,000 pages and make a change every time you decided to, you know, make some modification to the look and feel of your site. Just maintaining that content as well was a nightmare. You know, you'd have to look for typos, you'd have to do, you know, a lot of work to keep things up to date. So people, you know, found that to be a bit of a limitation, a problem. Well, companies did. And at the same time, we also found that, you know, more and more people were saying, okay, well, that's nice that I can show documents to people, but I want to do more. And from the time the web began, you know, there was Netscape, actually, originally, started working on, you know, ways to do things more dynamically, originally with JavaScript on the server side, and then we had Perl and so on and so forth. But we wanted to be able to allow users to interact with these sites that we created. We wanted to make the sites functional, not just showing data, right? So we came up with, you know, these dynamic web application environments. I mentioned a few of them just now, but Cold Fusion was one of the absolute first ones. Right? 11 years ago was pretty, I mean, the web was brand new as well. And Cold Fusion was one of the first ones to come out that, you know, literally just let you do something more than hard code static text and let people see it. You know, namely talk to databases and include other files. I mean, that was a novel thing back then. And it's still an extremely powerful thing to be able to do. Why have the same content in 1,000 places when you can, you know, put it in one place and include it? Why have the same content replicated in 20 different pages when you can put it in a central database and have all those 20 pages pull it from that database? Centralizing where this content is stored, you know, really, really drastically, you know, it changes how much maintenance, you know, and how fast you can do maintenance on your content. So the way the dynamic web architecture works for any platform, not just Cold Fusion, you send a request to a server just like you did before, and rather than the web server just finding the contents of that page and sending it back to your browser, it hands that request off to something else. In the case of Cold Fusion, it hands that request to the Cold Fusion server. And what that web application server is going to do in the case of Cold Fusion, it looks all through that page and finds the stuff, you know, the stuff that's in there that tells the server to do something. Those tags, right, that Cold Fusion code, right, ends up generating nothing but text, HTML, and it sends that back, right, along with whatever else was hard-coded in the page. So how does it know to do that? Right. Well, when you ask for a page, typically with Cold Fusion, it's going to be a .cfm. Right? The minute your web server sees that you're asking for a .cfm file, it hands that request to the Cold Fusion server. Cold Fusion, at that point, starts at the very top of the page and processes its way down, looking for any Cold Fusion tags that just tell it what to do. and it ignores all your text, all your HTML, your JavaScript, any of that stuff I mentioned before that I said was client-side. You can put that in your ColdFusion pages, but ColdFusion will just ignore it. All that server cares about is doing the stuff that you tell ColdFusion to do with ColdFusion code. CFML, you see at the bottom there, is actually the language you use to do that. We had HTML before, which is hypertext markup language, and in the case of ColdFusion, you write all your code in CFML, which is ColdFusion markup language. And it looks just like HTML. Right? It's just a bunch of tags. Right? Tells the ColdFusion to talk to a database, create variables, output the values of variables, loop, generate reports. Anything you can make ColdFusion do, you use CF tags to do it. It gets processed wherever you've put those tags, and then, like I said, whatever output gets generated is what gets sent back to this to the client. Now, the tags you use in CFML, fortunately, it's real easy to find them, and it makes it very easy for the server to find them. They all start with the letter CF. So in HTML, you've got your body tag and strong tag and, you know, EM tag and da-da-da, and there's no real consistency to, you know, the naming conventions. But in the case of ColdFusion, all of your tags will start with CF. The first two tags, if you're brand new to ColdFusion that you want to learn, are CFSet and CFOutput, most likely. They're probably the most frequently used tags. CFSet allows you to create a variable, and CFOutput will allow you to display the value of a variable. Right? This is how you create your first hello world kind of application. Right? A variable, for those of you who are really new to programming, is nothing more than a little space in memory that, you know, holds a value, and you assign some name to it. And you can modify that value, you can output that value, you can retrieve it, and do whatever you want to do with it. So, and I've got a little sample there of the code, right? CFSet first name equals Simon, and then inside of CF output tags, you notice I have variables.firstname, and I've got pound signs around it, or hash marks around it. Inside of CF output, in ColdFusion in general, anytime you have a pound sign, a hash mark, that tells ColdFusion that, you know, just like seeing a CF tag, you know, tells the server to go do something, anytime it sees a pound sign, ColdFusion is going to evaluate whatever's inside of there. Right? Typically, it's just the name of a variable. So, any questions about that so far? It's pretty simple, right? You want to note also that I prefixed the name of the variable. I created a variable called firstName, but I actually outputted it as variables.firstName. Do you have to do that? No. ColdFusion will look around all the different places in memory that it stores things, but you do want to get in the habit, and this is something I try to instill at people who are new to ColdFusion, get in the habit of just prefixing your variables all the time. Local variables start with variables dot. Mm-hmm.
What is prefixing?
Prefixing? It's literally just putting the name of wherever it is in memory that ColdFusion is storing this variable, and then dot, and then the name of the variable.
How do you know
where it's going to be? Well, if it's a local variable, if you just create a normal variable, it's always going to be variables dot.
Okay.
If this variable is something that you expect to be coming out of the URL, it's going to be URL dot. If it's a variable that got created because somebody submitted a form, it's going to be form dot. If it's a value that came out of a database, it's actually going to be the name of the query dot the name of the column, in that case, which is getting a little ahead of me, but that's all right.
The first name is one lowercase name.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. It's a good thing to catch. You notice I have a capital N in the word first name here, and I have it all lowercase there, right? Since you said that, in ColdFusion, variables are case insensitive. You can spell your variable names all uppercase, you can reference them as all lowercase, you can use mixed case, you can do whatever you want, really. There are only a few rules that you have to follow when you're naming your variables, but they are case insensitive. They're typeless. Anybody know what that means? No? ColdFusion is good.
It doesn't matter if they're numeric,
yep.
Boolean, whatever.
That's right. Variables get stored without a specific data type. I mean, technically under the hood, yes, they do have data types. The server manages that, though. You're unaware of it. You don't care about it. It's known as dynamic typing. Basically, when you create a variable, that variable just gets created. It has whatever value you gave it. And unlike most other programming languages, it doesn't have to be a date or a string or a number or a Boolean or whatever. It doesn't really matter. What's going to happen is the minute you use that variable in some way, shape, or form, for example, trying to output it. If you try to output a variable, ColdFusion on the fly is going to try to cast that variable to a string data type. Right? I mean, you can only show strings to people. Right? I mean, a number, yeah, you can look at a number on the screen, but technically you're still turning it into a string that you're looking at, right? If I want to use it in a math operation, ColdFusion on the fly is going to try to turn it into a number. If I use a function that tries to format it as a date, ColdFusion will check to see if whatever that value is can be turned into a date. In a dynamic typing environment, it just means that your runtime environment is trying to cast things to whatever data type is appropriate depending on how you use them. Right? So they are typeless, right? Loosely typed, you could say. They exist, in the case that I just showed you, they exist for the duration of the request, and then they get destroyed. What that means is that if I have a page that just has this code in it, right, somebody asks for that page, ColdFusion is going to create a little space in memory to hold this variable, and it's going to associate it with the name first name. It's going to give it that value, right, Simon in this case. It's going to continue processing down the page. It's going to hit the CF output tag and say, okay, I'm going to, whatever's inside of the CF output block, if it has pound signs around it, I'm going to turn that into its value. All right? I could have normal text in there as well. It doesn't have to just be a variable, but it'll ignore that text. It sees that variable. It goes ahead and turns it into its value, right? And then it's done processing the page. So it gets ready to send back whatever text got generated. And the minute it sends that text back, this variable first name gets destroyed in memory. It doesn't exist anymore. Right? And ColdFusion gives that memory back to the available pool for all the other requests. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah. Question?
But it's there again if you request it.
If you ask for the page again, yes, it will create the variable again. It'll use it again. Right. Yeah. It just creates whatever it needs to on every given request, and then it destroys those things. Now, that's not the case for every type of variable. Right? That's one of the reasons that we have these different places in memory. Right, the local variables, that variables scope, yes, they get created when you ask for the page, they get destroyed when it's done processing the page. There's a scope in memory called the session scope. Right? That's information that is, well, just that, it's about a session. Right? It's user-specific data. But you want to persist that. Right? It actually, the minute it creates something in the session scope, it keeps that in memory, and it doesn't destroy that until your session times out, or the server gets rebooted. Right? That's nice for things like a login form. I mean, if you think about it, if I I want to make everybody log into my website, well, I give them a form saying you must log in, and I'm going to set session.log, I'm going to set a variable like logged in to yes or no or true or false. Well, if I'm not using something that persists, that doesn't get destroyed, then they type in their username and their password. I say oh yep, that's who they are. I say log in equal true, but of course then that variable gets destroyed. So they click on a link and try to go to the next page, and again, I don't see them as being logged in anymore. The minute I say I flag somebody as being logged in that scenario, I want the server to remember that I've flagged this person as logged in, so I don't keep asking them to. Right? So that's what that session scope is for. And the values are obviously user-specific in that example. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of scopes in memory. They're actually about, as you get more and more into ColdFusion, you'll find there are, technically, I think at this point we have about 26 scopes in memory, something like that. A lot of them only exist in very special circumstances. But there's a session scope for that. There's the form and URL, like I mentioned. There's a local variable scope. There's scopes to handle all sorts of stuff. You can make global variables that persist that are shared by all your users, that are not user-specific, which is the application scope. It's at an application level that you're persisting things. Right? But every variable does have a prefix, right? And it is good to get in the habit of using those. There are a couple of reasons why. One of them is that, makes your code a lot more readable, which is a good thing. That's one of the first things you want to try to do, is make your code as readable as possible. The other reason you really should do that is because it will make the pages run a little faster. ColdFusion does have an order of places in memory that it looks for variables. It'll look in the local variable scope, then it looks in the form scope, then the URL scope, then the CGI scope, and so on and so forth. It looks in lots and lots of places in memory for a variable if you don't tell it where to go. So explicitly just saying, in this place in memory, here's the variable I want to use, it will make the server do less work, which is a good thing. All right. The CF alpha tag, I don't know if you noted there before, but CF set, I didn't have a closing CF set. CF output, on the other hand, there is a closing tag, and in the case of CF output, ColdFusion will literally just look in between those two tags and check to see if there are any variables there to evaluate, or if there's any expressions to evaluate. Right? And by expression, I mean anything inside of pound signs. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of let me write some code, just kind of play around with some of this stuff for you. I'm going to create a new other. And just a CF thing. Foo, because I name everything foo. What server do I have running? Dev2. All right, so I'm creating a folder called foo off my web root for one of my servers. This is CF Eclipse, by the way. How many of you use CF Eclipse? Anybody? How many of you are going to be using Dreamweaver? Good number of you. Okay. Well, if you'd rather, I can do this with Dreamweaver. I do have it installed. They basically look the same. If you haven't looked at it yet, it will look just like this. Pretty much. Not exactly, but pretty close. All right, so I have foo. I'm going to go ahead and create a new page here. I'm just going to create a file to kind of play with some of this stuff I'm talking about. So a new CFML page. It's there, and I'll call it index.cfm. All right, and just to use our example here, right, cf set first name. Oops. Assignment, and then cf output. And all right, this is variables.firstname. Oh, that's all right. You can see what a ColdFusion error message looks like. All right. So I try to browse it. I should get an error if I did misspell it. I trust you that I did. Okay. But you know what? It's pretty, you know, element first name is undefined in variables. You know, and then it's actually showing me, you know, here's, it's got in bold, here's the line of code where the problem happened, right? It's on line 2. It doesn't get much easier than that. I mean, if I go back here and I can turn on my line numbering as well. All right, well, there's line 2. I mean, there's only 2 lines, so it's not that hard to find. But, you know, imagine there are thousands of lines of code. You know, and it's telling me exactly where the problem is, which is, you know, very, very easy to debug. So just fix that. Okay, so there's Simon, right? That's the value of that variable. And you want to note, if I tell it to view the source of the page, that's all I see. Your CF output tags, your CF set, any of your CF tags, they generate whatever they generate, but they don't ever, and then they disappear, you know, in your output. They don't actually get sent back. I mean, think about it. I mean, a web browser doesn't know what to do with a CF tag. It doesn't know, you know, it doesn't know what to do with that. It means nothing to it, right? So that's the output. If I'm inside of here and I wanted to, you know, put a strong tag around it, right? Just to make it bold. So now my name is bold, right? And you want to note, you know, ColdFusion literally just ignores anything that is not an actual instruction to the server. Right. It knew to evaluate that variable name because I had those pound signs around it. But it ignored the strong tags because they don't start with a CF. Right. And by the way, I'm not making that up. It actually, like, if I change this to CF strong, right? It's not that ColdFusion just looks for the tags that it knows. It literally will try to process any tag that starts with CF. So you don't want to go making up tags that don't exist. It doesn't work, right? That's ColdFusion telling me that it doesn't know what a CF strong tag is. Right. You also want to note, oops. You know, I can put my, you know, I can put my HTML anywhere I want. I can put one of the tags outside of my CF output, one of them inside of it. Right, it'll still work. If I view the source, it still looks the same. All my CF tags get stripped out. I wouldn't recommend doing that. You should nest things in a way that makes sense, but right, it is important to note that ColdFusion really does just ignore that stuff. And you can put other things inside of there. You know, like that. Oops. Of course, I should spell that right. All like that. Just ignore stuff that isn't CF code. It's real simple, easy to do. All right. Oops. That's your hello world. So getting into a little bit of other stuff you can do in ColdFusion, right? Now I've got, okay, I'm creating a variable called fname, I'm creating a variable called lname. Now I'm creating a variable called fullname, and I want it to be my first name and my last name and a space in the middle. So you have to do string concatenation, you have to put them together. You notice in ColdFusion, the syntax for doing that is with an ampersand. That and sign is what actually appends one string to another, right? You don't use the plus symbol. So let me go back to my page here. So there's my first name. Boy, man, my fingers are just going wacky today. CF set last name equals, I'm just going to say Smith because it's nice and short. All right. And I want to create a variable called full name. And it's going to be equal to, all right, variables.firstname and variables.lastname. And of course down here, I'm going to actually output full name. Okay. You want to note that if I do that, what I end up with is my first name and my last name crammed together. I didn't put a space in between them. All right, so I'll put a space there. So that and, oops, you can't see that, can you? In ColdFusion, you can typically use single quotes or double quotes completely interchangeably. You just want to make sure that anytime you start something with a single quote, you end it with a single quote. And if you start it with a double quote, you want to end it with a double quote. But otherwise, it really doesn't care which one you use. That's completely up to you. All right. So now I've got a space in between, and you notice, okay, so Simon Smith with a space. If I were to change these to plus signs, all right, here's what actually happens. Get an error message. The value Simon cannot be converted to a number. That's that dynamic typing. The plus sign is reserved only for arithmetic. Right? In some languages, plus will allow you to actually concatenate strings or add numbers. Not the case in ColdFusion. So that won't work. I'll try doing this. CF set age equals. No, let's make me young. I want to be 21 again. All right. I know that's a bit of a stretch, but all right. So now my age is 21. All right, and I'll go ahead and I'm going to actually append it to my to this, right? You want to note that that's no problem, right? It'll keep, that number can be cast to a string. Yes.
Could you add a space in front of 21 and then you have to?
You mean instead of putting a space there, just put a space here?
Yeah.
Sure. Yep, that's the value of the variable, right? So I can put a space there. Right. Now you want to note, I put quotes around that. However, I can get rid of those if I want. And it'll still work. The reason for that, oops, the reason I'm able to do that, right, oops, I didn't put it in the slide. The naming conventions for variables, the very first letter of a variable name has to be either a letter or an underscore. Right? You can't use a number for the first character in a variable name. You can also use dollar signs. I don't recommend using anything but letters. That's what everybody does. So you know you can't put spaces in the names of variables. You would just use underscores. You can't put any other special characters in the names of variables. Letters, numbers, and underscores are allowed. But the first character should be a letter. That's just something important to note. Because of that, right, if I say age equal to 21, well, that's really nothing to do with that. It knows that I'm actually using the value 21. Right? The reason being, this couldn't possibly be a variable. What if I were to say CF set age equals last name? Right. What's going to actually happen? Oops. You notice now my last name is showing up twice. Without quotes around this word last name. Right. Cool Fusion assumes it's a variable. I'm now setting one variable, I'm creating a new variable called age, and I'm setting it equal to the value of another variable. It knows I'm using another variable because there are no quotes around it. If I want to use the actual string last name, I would have to put quotes around it. In the case of a number, I don't need quotes around it because variable names can't start with a number. It has to be that piece of text, the 2-1 in that case. Okay. Yes?
Can you nest double quotes inside of a single quotes without having to escape them?
Sure. If I want my, I have my first name, my last name, and my age, and I'll say CF set mission equals, right? So I've got double quotes, and I'll say Simon's mission, you know, is to make it out of the room in one piece. Right? And then I'll output mission. Right? You notice I have a single quote, you know, an apostrophe nested inside of my double quotes. And of course, when I run that, it works just fine. It'll let you do that. Okay. Other question? All right. Comments. One of the first things you want to learn in ColdFusion is how to comment your code. Your objective whenever you write code, and this is in any programming language, should be to make your code as readable and as self-documenting as possible, right? When I get getting back to variable names, can you call your variables X, Y, and Z? Yes, you can. Of course, nobody will know what X, Y, and Z really mean. You can name them whatever you want, to be honest with you, as long as you adhere to those rules. The character limit, and I have no idea why you'd ever want to do this, but you can make variable names up to 256 letters long. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of fun referencing those, though. But technically, you can. But you should also comment your code. Right, just put comments in there. This is the purpose of this page. This is the author. This is the date it was created. This is what this page does. You know, anytime it makes sense, you know, now loop over this, now do this, now do that. Anything that, you know, allows people to follow your code a little more easily, you should comment it. Now, in HTML, right, let me put this back to, there's my full name again. I'll get rid of the H because that's just looking stupid. All right, so in HTML, right, you do a less than, an exclamation, two dashes, right, like this. Right, can you guys see that? I know it's a little faint, but right, it says output my name. Right, there's your HTML comment, and if I go run the page, right, I don't see it, which is good, it's a comment. But of course, if I do a view source, there's the comment. Right, HTML comments are HTML. They do get sent back to the browser. Right? The browser doesn't do anything with them. It just ignores them, but they're there. In ColdFusion, you can obviously use HTML. However, if you want, you can add an extra dash. So now I've got an HTML comment that has three dashes instead of two to start and close it. When you do that, it's now become a ColdFusion comment. What's the difference? I reload it, it looks the same. However, if I do a view source, you notice that the comment doesn't actually get sent back to the browser. That will make your pages run a little faster, or load a little faster anyway, because you're not sending so much text back. It also gives you a nice way to obviously comment your code and not have those comments ever expose themselves. Right? I mean, maybe you want to put comments in there like, this is where I do such and such with their password, or this is where I, you know, things that are for the other developers or for yourself that you wouldn't want people to be able to right-click, view source, and actually read. Another nice thing about ColdFusion comments, another nice use for them, maybe I decide, oh, you know what, I actually don't want to create an age variable, or maybe I don't like my mission variable, and I decide it's not needed anymore. So I'm going to go ahead and... Or to, even better, instead of that, maybe I don't want to output it anymore. Let's get rid of the output. So I put a comment around that block, right? I've commented out where I output my name. I go back. I run it. I can't see it anymore. But just like before, you notice if I do a view source, right? It actually did, you know, output the text. It's all just commented out with HTML comments. But more significantly, I'm not just commenting out text now. It actually did run the ColdFusion code. You notice it still evaluated those variables. On the other hand, with a ColdFusion comment, oops, just add an extra hyphen here. When I run that and I do a view source, right, it didn't actually run that code at all. This is how you can, when you're debugging and there's parts of your code you think might be causing the problem, you can tell ColdFusion not to run that code. It'll actually skip whatever's inside of there. I can actually illustrate that even better if you want, just by simply saying to take this ColdFusion comment and let's say I put it here. If that's an HTML comment, like this, right, you notice I've commented out the CFSet first name, but it still did create the first name variable. I just happen to have HTML comments around where it did it, which doesn't mean anything to ColdFusion. If I turn that into a ColdFusion comment, ColdFusion will literally skip what's inside of that ColdFusion comment, which means it'll never create my first name variable. And of course, I'll get an error message saying there is no first name variable to output. Right? Obviously, I don't really want to do that. All right. So that's commenting. There are a lot of tags and a lot of functions in ColdFusion, and I'll show you functions in a sec here. I didn't update these slides. Actually, I think at this point we're at about 110 tags. I believe that's the count, 110, 120, right around there. The functions have now grown to, I believe, around 350. So the language has a lot in it. You can do a lot with ColdFusion. Functions, though, right? You have all these tags. They're functions to do pretty much anything. You notice, I mean, there are about five times the number of functions as there are tags. And for almost any tag, there is a function that does the same thing. Almost any, not all of them. Like talking to a database, there's only one tag to do that. But most things you can use functions to do, and a whole lot more. Formatting strings, performing certain math operations if you want, manipulating your variables, you know, lists and such, searching for strings inside of other strings, right? All that kind of stuff. So very simple function. There's a function called now, just the word now with opening and closing parentheses. All functions have opening and closing parentheses, right? So if you output now, I'll get rid of what I'm outputting here, and I'll leave the bold tag there. Right? So you notice if I put the word now like that, it's literally just gonna show it to me. All right? So if I go back to my code and I put my pound signs around it, so I've got a pound sign now with open and close parentheses and then closing pound sign, right, it actually outputs the date. So it doesn't have to just be a variable. It's any expression that it'll evaluate. Of course, that's a very ugly date. You wouldn't typically want to show the date that way to people, right? That's how you might store it in a database. But you want it to look a little prettier. And if you notice on my slide, what I'm actually doing here is I've got one function called date format. That's one of the functions in ColdFusion. And date format has two arguments. The first one is the date that you want to format. So I'm actually putting a call to one function as the first argument to a call to another function. So inside the date format, I say, okay, the first thing is the date, so that's going to be called a now. All right, the second thing is just a string that is the mask for, you know, how you want it formatted. What's really, really interesting to note, and what's probably one of the more troubling things for people when they start with ColdFusion, is knowing when to use pound signs and when not to use pound signs. You know that I've got pound signs around that whole expression, but I didn't put them around the word now this time. Right? That's because it's inside of another expression. So if I were to put the word date format right there, and then my closing parenthesis, like that. I won't tell it the format. That's an optional argument. So now what I actually have here, that is one function call inside of the parentheses to another function call. And if I run it, you notice that what I get, something a little different, right? 28-June-06, right? Could I have used pound signs? Sure. If I wanted, I could have put, right, pound signs like that, get an error message. Okay. The reason for that is because I'm not in quotes. Right? Those pound signs are supposed to tell ColdFusion that anytime something may be a string, just a string literal, and may not be a string literal, then you want to evaluate. Inside of CF output, it ignores all text, and you have to explicitly say these are the things to evaluate. Inside of a function call, right, I have the option of saying, okay, let's put a single quote here and a single quote here. Right. Now, it works because I've said, okay, in these quotes is going to be a string literal, but so inside of them I actually use the pound signs and say evaluate this. Very good rule of thumb is anytime you're in quotes, you want to use pound signs. If you don't need to be in quotes and you're already inside of some expression, you typically do not need to use pound signs. Does that kind of make sense? it's a little tricky to get used to. Right? I've also got the mask, right? The format. So maybe I'll say MMMM. Well, actually, how about this? DDDD, comma space, MMMM, D, comma, YYYY, right? That should tell me the day of the week, spell out the full name of the month, give me the day with or without any leading zeros, and the year with four digits, right? So that's what that mask looks like. And you notice, you know, there I go, Wednesday, June 28, 2006. If I wanted to, right, I could say CF set, you know, the format, that's a reserve word. CF set my date format is equal to this, right? So what if I had a variable that told me how I wanted it formatted? Well, now that I'm going to use a variable, I actually don't need quotes down here. I could just say variables dot my date format. Don't need pound signs, don't need quotes, don't need any of that. And it will evaluate it because I'm already inside of an expression. You know, I didn't get an error message. All right. So lots of functions do lots of things. Let's get to what's more useful. I mean, hello world is neat and everything. Let's talk about talking to databases. All right. ColdFusion is set up to talk to, you know, most of the databases that are out there. Lots and lots of databases. Actually, if I go to my ColdFusion administrator, which is the admin interface. It's actually a web application, and it's written in ColdFusion itself. Right, whenever you install ColdFusion, you get this. In the ColdFusion administrator, there's a section called Data and Services. Right? And in there is this thing called Data Sources, which is actually what I had up by default. A data source is nothing but a named connection to a database. How many of you use Windows? Right? How many of you use Linux? Or Apple? Mac? Okay. Well, what I say may or may not make sense to you. I'm not a Mac guy. I think it will. In Windows, you want to create a printer. Right? You want to use a printer. Somebody buys you a printer for Christmas or for your birthday or whatever. Right? So you take it out of the box, you plug it in. Right? You go into Windows and you say, okay, I'm adding a new printer. Right? So I say add a printer, next. It wants to know where this printer is. I'm going to say that it's a local printer. Please don't detect it since it doesn't really exist here. You know, how is it actually connected to your machine? Maybe it's connected, that's not a very good way to connect. You know, maybe it's on that COM port. Right? I say next. It tells me, you know, it asks me who made it. We'll say that it's some sort of neat laser writer from Apple. If I have a driver for it, I can actually tell it where to find that driver, right? Go ask Microsoft where the driver is, or here's the CD, get it from there, right? Otherwise, it'll just find it for me. Give it a name. A stupid printer. Right? Do you want to use it as default? Oh, no, I definitely don't. Right? Do you want to share it or not? Blah, blah, blah. It just keeps, no, don't press, don't do that. It's just going to keep asking me lots and lots of stuff, and it shows me my settings. And when I hit finish, it's finding those drivers. Right? It knows where they are on this system. Ultimately, what happens is I get kicked back to that original window, and I've got a stupid printer. Right? Now, do I actually have a printer connected? No. Did I just make a printer? No. What I created is this alias, right? Now I can open up Word, or I can open up Firefox, or my web browser, or whatever, and anytime I want, I can just click on print, and it's going to say, okay, what do you want to use to print? And all I have to do is say, print it with a stupid printer, right? Or print with this, or print with that, right? What Windows is going to do is it's going to take that name, and it's going to look in its registry, in this case. It's going to go find out, okay, what type of printer is that? What driver do I use to translate my output to a format that the printer knows how to use? Turn it into a language that printer understands. How is it connected? So on and so forth. All the information about how to connect to that printer from my machine and how to talk to, communicate with it is stored in this thing called a stupid printer. Right? And I could have called it whatever I want, and I can delete it. And if you delete it, it's not going to delete an actual printer. It just means I deleted that connection. Data sources are the same thing, only you don't usually call them a stupid printer, and they don't talk to printers. Data sources are just named connections to databases. Right? That's all it is. And you can have 20 data source names that all point at the same database. I could create 50 printers that all technically do talk to the same printer. It's really up to you. I don't know why you would want to do that, but you can. And you notice, there are lots and lots of databases that ColdFusion will talk to by default. You've got all your typical ones, Oracle, SQL Server, Access, which I don't recommend using in production, but you can do it. You can talk to lots of different types of databases. Right? That word other, by the way, that's for those of you who actually do want to tell it exactly what driver to use and where to find it. Right? If you say other, you can actually tell it where the JDBC driver is to talk to that type of database. Right? You don't have to do that very often. You pretty much never have to do it unless you're not using one of these. And creating a data source is really easy. Right? I'll go ahead and create one. So I'm going to create a SQL Server data source. And before I do that, I should probably start SQL Server on this machine. That usually helps. So I'm starting SQL Server. But all right, so I'm going to create something that's going to talk to SQL Server, and I have to give it a name, so I'll call it CF101. You want to note that the name you give it, you really should use the same kind of naming conventions you use for your ColdFusion variables. Don't put like spaces and stuff in there, even though I did with the printer. I don't recommend doing that. It's a very bad idea. All right, so CF101, it's a SQL Server driver, right? It asks me what database I'm using, which is my my server. So my server is localhost, and I don't know what my database name is actually. CF flex sample, I think. I think that exists. I'll go find out. I tell it the name of the database on that server, the username, the password. The questions you get asked when you tell it to create a data source are going to depend entirely on what type of database you've told it you're going to create a connection to. With Access, it's not going to ask you for the server and database name because it doesn't work that way. It's just a single. It'll ask you for the path to the MDB file. Right? In the case of Oracle, it'll ask you for different things than it typically will with SQL Server and so on. Most of them, other than Access, you always want to supply a username and a password to connect with. Here you go, flex CF sample. That's a simple little thing. All right, so top secret. Well, that's I'd have to kill you if I told you that. No, actually, it's just a project, kind of a content management system that I've been helping to build for somebody. Okay, so that's the name of the database, right? That's on my SQL Server. I'm gonna tell it what username and password to use, which I'll just use that. You notice I've got a whole bunch of other settings. No, don't remember that password. I've got a whole bunch of advanced settings if you want to, how to connect to it. You can actually limit what SQL is allowed. Do you want to be able to drop tables or do inserts or what have you? The one thing here that is a very important setting, you don't usually have to go into the advanced settings. One thing you do want to make, you want to always watch for is this maintain connections checkbox. With every database out there besides Access, you always want to maintain connections. Right. With Access, it's really a single user desktop kind of an environment, and if you maintain the connection to that, you're going to find that you're not going to get much of a benefit from that, and you will lock the database so that nobody else can actually connect to it or do anything. It's a very bad idea to maintain your connection to your Access database. But I'll show you what that's actually doing. All right, so I hit submit. Do I want to remember that? No. Just submit. Just go. Okay. So you notice now here's CF101. Status is okay. It told me that it got created successfully. Right? If I want to delete a data source, I can just click on the X, right? That'll actually delete it. That middle button there actually verifies that it's okay. So I can check my connections. Right? There's a verify all connections. I can make sure they're all working. Which, by the way, these data source names right here both point at the same database right now. Right. You can click here to go back in and edit. So let's go and see how you actually use that data source. Right. So ColdFusion uses JDBC, 5 minutes, huh? All right. Which is Java database connectivity. That's because we're going from a Java environment out to talk to the database. Right. And you use SQL, structured query language, to talk to databases. For those of you who haven't seen it before, it's a very simple kind of a programming language. It's a very simple language to learn, though. You know, if you want to get information out, you say select. If you want to put something in, you say insert. Right? Update for updating. Delete for deleting. It's pretty simple. Right? And you use the CF query tag in ColdFusion to do that. So I'm going to show you, in the interest of saving some time here, I'm going to go back here and look at my table, right? My database. So there's a table called employee, right? And employee has what? Probably first name, last name, stuff like that, right? While I'm waiting for that, I'll go back to my page, and we're going to go ahead. Here we go. So first name, last name, email. That's good enough. So I'm going to come out here. I'm going to delete everything in this page, and I'm going to say CF query. Right? Two things I want to say. I want to give it a name so that I can reference whatever comes back. So I'll say name equals Q data. Right? And you've got to tell it the data source, which in our case is CF101, right? Now I just put whatever SQL I want to use. So select first name, I'll just say first name, comma, last name, oops, from employee, you know, order by last name, right? Anything that is valid SQL you can put there. So I'm going to do that, I'm going to run it. It's this easy to talk to a database. And you notice I don't see anything. Right? Just like with creating a variable, if you don't see if output it, if you don't output that at all, you can't see it. You know, it just doesn't show it. Did it run? Yeah, it did run. Right? And I didn't get an error. So I'm going to put CF output. Oops. And inside here, right? Well, I'm selecting the first name and the last name, right? So I'm just going to output last names just to keep things simple. So I'm going to put last name. And you notice when I go up here and I reload it, I get an error message, right? It can't find anything called last name. This is where getting in that habit of prefixing things, you know, you're going to have to do with queries. So I said that my query name is QData. Change that to QData.lastName. All right? So I do that and I reload the page. And you notice there's a last name. But there was more than one row in that database table, right? I'm only actually seeing one last name here. I want to see all of them. If you do a CF output and you just put a name of a query dot and the name of a column, it'll show you the value for that column in the first row that came back. If I want to see all of them, the very easy way to do that, there's an attribute called query on CF output. And if I say query equals and then the name of one of my queries, like QData, right, that's the name of my query here, when I save that, those are all of the last names that I got. Now, what that CF output query equals tells ColdFusion to do is loop. Loop one time for every row that came back for that query. And every time it loops, any of the column names, the query name dot column name that you put there, it's going to use the value for whatever row it's currently looping over. Now, that looks very ugly, so of course you'd want to format it. So I can do things like, if I put a break tag there, What ColdFusion is going to do is it's going to output the first last name from the first row and then a break. It's going to ignore that. Then it's going to output the last name from the second row and a break, and the last name of the third, and it's going to keep outputting a break after every time it loops. And they just show up one under the other. You know, on the web, you typically want to show lots of different columns and you show them all lined up. So you create a table, you put one table row with table headers in it, and then you loop. And inside of that loop, you create one table row, right? And you put table cells in it that have your column names, and then every time it loops, it's going to add more rows to your table. It's real easy to do. In this simple example, I could do this pretty fast. Right? So we got table. I'll even say border is 1, right? Table row. I've got a cell that says first name, even though I'm showing you the last name. You can ignore that. Right. Let me cut this. All right, so there's a row that just says first name in it. And I've got my loop. And every time I loop, I'm going to create a table row. I'm going to have one cell in it. And I'm going to put my last name in each cell. All right. And that's how you start getting things on the web. I'm being told that I'm out of time, or that I have to stop. I did miss, I think there were like 2 or 3 slides that was kind of it can also do reporting, and it can also do this, and it can also do that. It can do a lot. I'm going to be at the conference, actually, for the next 4 days, until Saturday. So any of you that have any other questions, feel free to grab me, and show me stuff, talk to me about stuff, whatever, you know.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.